Beneath her richly embroidered cloak of dark green, the breastplate could be seen. It was burnished silver metal, with a gold star radiating from its centre. She wore a short kilt, around which her sling was belted, with a stone pouch attached. Tyria took in all of this at a glance, but she stared hard and long at the face. Tyria was aware of Mandoral voicing his thoughts aloud.
The moment I saw you down on the shore, I felt that Queen Rulaine was reborn. Now I am certain of it.
The Otter Maid was still gazing at the sketch.
Aye, sir. She could be my older sister for sure.
The Badger Lord lifted her effortlessly down from the sill.
Come with me. I have something to show you.
When Tyria saw him draw back a hanging wall curtain, she knew where Mandoral had vanished to previously. He unlocked the door which lay behind it.
This is my own personal bedchamber, come study, come refuge from mess halls packed with noisy long patrol hares.
She inspected the Badger's retreat. It had one small window, shelves full of volumes and parchments, a table, a comfortable chair, and various pieces of armour and weaponry hanging from two walls. The Badger Lord took a bundle from a cupboard and placed it upon the table.
That last ill-fated voyage made by the Rulaine has been documented by Lord Earthwhite. She came from Green Isle to Salamandastron to be measured for a new armoured breastplate. Earthwhite was planning on making one for her. Apparently, he thought the old one was getting rather thin and battered. Like that of Badger Lords, Otter Queen's apparel can get some fairly rough treatment. From Earthwhite's records, I gather the new armour would take a full season to manufacture. Alas, she was never destined to see it. But even after the High Queen's death, Earthwhite continued with the breastplate until it was completed. He was a beast with a love for his art, you see. I had the regimental tailors recreate the cloak and kilt from the drawing you saw. As for my own contribution, I made the sling and stone pouch. Unfortunately, there is one piece of the regalia missing, the coronet. We possessed gold enough, but nothing remotely resembling the great round emerald which would have completed it. I want you to take these things, Tyria Wildloch. They are yours by right, I think. I'm sure they will fit you well.
Tyria opened the bundle slowly. The cloak and kilt were tailored skillfully from a thick, dark green velvet, the hue of mossy stream stones, which lay in shaded shallows. The Otter Maid could not suppress a gasp of awe as she beheld the breastplate. It was a true example of the armourer's art, a waist-length, sleeveless tunic. The back was a mesh of fine silver links, forming a chain mail. The front was also pure silver, beaten, smoothed and burnished to a mirror-like finish. This was surmounted at its centre by a radiating star of bright gold. The inside was padded with a soft azure blue silk. Tyria exclaimed as she picked it up.
Goodness, it's light as a feather.
Mandoral nodded.
Indeed it is. I wish I knew what sort of secret metals Earthwhite infused into it. Don't let its lack of weight fool you, Tyria. It would stand against any blade, even a spear point. Do you like the sling I made?
It was slightly longer than Tyria's sling whoppet, and a touch broader, a grey-black in colour, and rough to the touch. Tyria tested its balance and pliability. Taking a stone from her own pouch, she loaded the weapon, twirling it experimentally, then smiled her approval.
This is a marvellous sling, sir. Far better than my old one. The material is tough and very coarse, good to grip. It would never slip, I can tell. What's it made of?
The Badger Lord pointed out the window.
The hide of a great fish. A shark that was washed up dead on our shore. There's more than a few lances and arrows among my hairs, tipped with the teeth and bone shards of that beast. I knew the skin would come in useful for something, so I had it treated and cured.